Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. On the 16th of March, 2022, I'm expecting a call-in from Kaya Henderson. Kaya is the CEO of Reconstruction, which is a curriculum company, a technology company that delivers an amazing K-12 supplemental curriculum for black people. It's unapologetically black, but she hasn't called in. What can I tell you? We're going to have to reschedule. What can I say? I'm awfully sorry. My name's Larry Jacobs. Keep viewing our schedule, which you put up at ace-ed.org every week. And, oh, wait, she just called in. There you go. Kaya, I'll bring you on in just a second. Let me restart the show. I'm Larry Jacobs, Kaya, and thank you for calling in. I was worried you weren't going to do that. We're going to have a wonderful talk with Kaya about her curriculum from her technology company where she is CEO, and that's called Reconstruction. I was dying to do this show. I'm so glad this happened. At reconstruction.us, and please check that out. We're going to have a nice conversation. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. That's our equity and access website. That's why I'm thrilled to be doing this show. All right. ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. I'm clocky this morning. All right. ace-ed.org. That's where we have our magazine, Equity and Access, our online journal. We put all our podcasts over there. We have a link to seltoday.org, Social Emotional Learning, our other website. All right. We have our brand new teacher retention training, which I think you'll really enjoy if you go over there, check it out under professional learning, all right, plus a ton of articles and information about equity and access, all at ace-ed.org. And now enough of me blabbing. Let me bring on Kaya. Good morning, Kaya. I am so glad you're here. I'm Larry. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Larry. It's Kaya, and I'm glad to be here myself.
You know, Kaya, I was going to say Kaya, and then I said, no, I'm going to pronounce it right and say Kaya, and I got it wrong anyway. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Okay, hi,
no
Kaya.
Worries.
It's a pleasure to have you here, right? And, wow, you're something, I got to tell you. I'm just going to say this about Kaya. She, from 2010 to 2016, 6 years, she was chancellor at Washington, D.C. public schools before she got into all this stuff. Okay, what was that like, Kaya? I bet you had a great job.
It was the biggest challenge of my career, and it was the best job I've ever had. When I got to D.C. Public Schools, we were the lowest performing urban school district in the country as measured by the National Assessment of Educational Progress. And when I left, we were the fastest improving. 5 years later, we're still fastest improving. So I feel really excited about the work that we did in D.C.
And congratulations to you. I knew you were successful at that, and I wanted to hear you say it. And these days, are you working full-time on your company? Which, by the way, I have to say, you call a technology company. Is it a curriculum company, Reconstruction.us, or is it a curriculum company or technology? How do you want to position that?
That is a good question. I am working full-time at Reconstruction, which is a curriculum company that is enabled
Thank
by
you.
Technology.
Thank you very much. By the way, I love it, and I love the name of it. I love the name of it. You know, I think it's just great. I want to say it's unapologetically black, and I love that, okay? Especially these days with all this hubbub and nutsiness over critical, quote, critical race theory, okay? So I love what you're doing. Thank you.
Well,
you're wonderful.
Thank you. I mean, We thought that it was very important. We have great examples of what happens when you are intentional about developing the cultural identity and the historical identity of young people. We have examples from other cultures like Hebrew school or Chinese school or Greek school, and we thought it was important to be intentional about the identity and cultural development of African American kids and any kid who are interested in black history, which is American history. And so we thought,
agreed,
why not put into play a lot of the information that is not readily available in our history books? Why don't we focus on literature that is not usually read in schools about the African-American experience? Why don't we focus on cultural elements that we're losing and use technology to get that out to as many young people as possible. And we've been at it for about 18 months, and it's been interesting to watch people's response. People are hungry for this kind of authentic, culturally relevant education.
I think it's wonderful. And there's an interesting thing about your, and again, everybody, reconstruction. God, I love that word. Okay, I love the way you named this. Reconstruction.u, I really do. I'm an old history teacher, emphasis on both old and history. Okay, and I got to tell you, it's just great. Okay,
I mean,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the reason why we named it Reconstruction, Larry, is a little bit of a double entendre. On the one hand, you know, the Reconstruction period of history is one that is very little, is not taught a lot in schools. And
these are
the 12 years post-emancipation when, in just this short span of 12 years, 37 HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities, were founded.
Sure.
5,000 wow. community schools were founded. African Americans owned 20% of the farmland in the United States. 500,000 black men voted in a presidential election, and Ulysses S. Grant only won by 300,000. So for people who tell us that our vote doesn't matter, it has mattered since we got it. You know, we built towns and incorporated towns and businesses and insurance companies and whatnot. And for the narrative to be about black people being lazy or stupid or not valuing education or not valuing voting rights, there's 12 years when, you know, we were able to do what we needed to do and were incredibly successful. And in response to that, then saw the rise of Jim Crow, the rise of black codes, the rise of the Ku Klux Klan. And so we wanted to remind people that we actually have a history of being successful in the United States. And we wanted to call on that history to inspire young people to be great in the next phase of history. We also wanted to, you know, think about reconstructing the strong black community. Frederick Douglass says it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And so we think about reconstruction in terms of building strong children.
Well, and I have to say also, and again, I taught history for years, and the Reconstruction period after the Civil War is traditionally taught as a bad period in history.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's the traditional way of looking at it. It was bad. It was based all on scams and ripoffs, and it was just a terrible time in American history. When you look at it from a different perspective, obviously black perspective, in this case, it's a whole different type of thing. And that was never taught.
That's right.
I find it amazing. That's a great positioning on it. And taken, as I said, I love the name of the company, Reconstruction.us. You know, I want to, and you just kind of answered this, but I think people are going to be interested in this. It's unapologetically black education. That's the top words on your website. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want everybody to understand, and please, you just said this in detail. Okay, and this is black history, I assume, black American history, I assume. Am I correct?
Touch on some aspects of African history across the diaspora. So, for example, we have a class. We have a class called Protests and Movements, where one of the movements we look at is the Haitian Revolution, because if you know your history,
the results of the
Haitian Revolution had significant impact on what was happening in the United States. We do a course, a pre-AP course on world history and geography. And it's the history of Africa, because we believe that it's important to understand that. But the majority of the content that we cover is African-American history and culture.
In the United States, and I want to make the point, and you just kind of help me do it. This is not – well, maybe it is. I should ask the question. Is it an angry history? Or how would you describe it in that regard? And that's a funny way to put it, okay? But you know
what
I'm saying.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
It is not an angry history. It's not an angry history. In fact, I think one of the – we are always characterized as, in negative terms, as angry, as lazy, as whatever.
Thank you.
And in fact, when you think about all of the things that African Americans have accomplished here in the United States, in spite of the obstacles, we are focusing on the accomplishments, right? We are focusing on our resilience, our brilliance, our entrepreneurship, our innovation. Those things were all happening in spite of the bad things that we were encountering. We're not centered on the bad things. There's enough talk about that. We are centered on helping young people understand the brilliance of the African-American culture. We are about the humanization of African-Americans. Like, we are living, breathing people who love, who are joyful, who dance, who sing, who, you know, pursue learning, who, you know, ran literary salons. This is our birthright. This is our inheritance. And when you grab onto that, then young people have a different level of confidence. They have a different level of responsibility to their community. They see academic success as their birthright. And you can shift the narrative for young people around what is possible for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I went all through school, Kaya, in Philadelphia, okay, and I graduated way back when. All right. So the schools I went to after elementary school were totally, if I may, integrated. Okay. And I went to school with a zillion black kids. All right. And it was great. And what I was amazed about, okay, and I went to Overbrook High, by the way. I always like to put that in there. That's where Will Smith, the future Oscar winner, went. Okay. All right. So I'm an Overbrook High. All right. And, you know, it was always amazing to me. And I said this before on the show. I was in, quote, academic coursework. All right? And academic coursework meant I was going, it was a college prep. All right? I was in homeroom. My homeroom was alphabetical, so I was with every kid named Jackson. All right? A million Jackson kids, all right, because I'm a Jacobs. All right? We all got along great. Everybody was there. It was about 85% black kids. All right. The bell rang. We all went to our classes. There was now about 5% black kids. Okay. Because there was a preconceived notion, okay, that the black kids aren't going to go to college. Okay. Yeah. That was a preconceived notion. And, of course, they had a choice. But I'm telling you, it went from 80% to 5%. And part of the reason is that was built into the culture back then. All right.
Right,
it was absolutely ridiculous. I've thought about that so many times over the years. Okay, it's just ridiculous. And when I was teaching, we had black kids at the school who came to me and said, "Mr. Jacobs, can you teach a black history course?" And I said, "This is way back in the early 70s. I said, "I'd like to, but I don't even know where to begin." I don't even know, and I use the typical stupid line, "Well, black history is really American history, as you know." Okay? All right? Because I mentioned Crispus Attucks. All right? So therefore, it's black history. Okay? And the point is, we needed this kind of thing, and it's just wonderful that we're doing it. But I have to ask you, do you want this to be in schools, or do you want this to be home courses? How do you want this to operate? Reconstruction
this
U.S.
This is a really important question, Larry. And I'll tell you, first of all, you know, I went to a school like you did. I happened to be one of those 5% of the kids who was on the college track, but there were lots of other African-American kids for whom the expectations were incredibly low. I think that's always been the case.
I hope at some point
it's not, but I've been out of high school for 40-plus years, and so we haven't gotten much farther. And so for me, part of this is about not relying on schools to do what needs to be done for our young people. When you look out at these, you know, critical race theory debates right now, there are people who are wholly unqualified to decide what should be happening in schools, making those decisions. And I think parents have power Parents have always had the power to get their kids whatever they need, whether school provides it or not. And, you know, when I think about the example of Hebrew schools, the Jewish community is not waiting for school to teach them who they are, right? They do it themselves. And so in some respects, this is an opportunity to empower African-American parents and other parents who want this kind of content to do it on their own, to find it on their own. You know, when schools don't have music classes or Spanish classes, families hire a Spanish tutor, or families, you know, get their kids into music lessons. We think about this that way. We want parents to be able to access this, whether school is teaching it or not, A, number one. B, number two, I presided over a school system, you know, I was in leadership at DC Public Schools for 10 years, and we asked schools to do way too much. We ask schools, you know, have 180 days, 6.5 hours a day, and we ask schools to teach 999 different things. Schools cannot do all of these things well, right? And so I don't want this history and culture relegated to the month of February or 42 minutes once a week in a class, right? I wanted to give this the full time and attention that it deserves, and the best way to do that is outside of school. It also allows me to be more creative, right? We can have a course called Black Shakespeare where we are looking at 5 different Shakespearean plays through an African or an African-American lens. I can also have a class called Cooking for the Soul where you learn the history of 5 soul food dishes and learn how to cook them with an amazing chef from New Orleans. I have flexibility outside of school that I didn't have within the school system. I also don't have to run around and chase 50 different state standards to approve my courses, right? When, in fact, if parents and schools who actually do choose reconstruction, they can come in and do it however they want to do. And so we have schools who use us in their after-school program. We have schools who use us in their summer school program, in their enrichment block, as elective courses. And that just provides me the flexibility to do whatever kinds of courses we want to do.
And that was an excellent example, by the way. Thank you. Thank you for all that. And how are we doing on that? How many kids are we reaching right now with Reconstruction.us?
So in our first year, I mean, we started this in the middle of a pandemic. We started in May of 2020.
That was good, actually. Yeah, everybody was home anyway. Yeah, good.
Well, we had 2 big questions at the time, which is, one, will kids get online to learn? And two, are people really interested in Black history? And I think we hit at the perfect time. In our first year, from September of 20 to September 2021, we served over 5,000 young people. That was without any big marketing schemes or whatever. We reached out to people who were in our networks. We found schools and school districts and parents and families and community-based organizations who wanted to offer reconstruction. This year, we're on track to serving about 15,000 kids.
That's great. That's great. Congratulations. I have to ask, are you reaching out? And I think this is really interesting I know you are. It's kind of a rhetorical. I know the answer is going to be. But to all school districts, to let them know that this is even available, okay? Because every school district, okay, they everybody talks about equity, okay? And believe me, they most of them mean it, okay? They want things. They want all kids to get a good education. I haven't found any that don't, okay? Mm-hmm. They don't know where to turn. And especially as we're talking about with this nutsiness with the critical race theory, okay, we could do a 12-hour show on that, all right? Nutsiness, I mean, they're all nuts, all right? And, how are you reaching out to schools? It's frustrating to me. You can hear it in my voice, but these lunatics pretending they know something about education, okay? Oh, God.
So we are a small company, Larry, and we've been very intentional about smart growth. And so we've reached out to a number of school systems as we grow our capacity. As I told you, we served 5,000 kids last year. We're on track to serving 15,000 kids this year. You know, there are millions of kids in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
We believe grow slow so that we can ensure the quality of our product. This is really important. I think in education, this is my 30th year in education, Larry, and what I've seen is we see a good idea, and we rush to scale it, and we don't maintain the quality, and we're not thoughtful about how to execute. What I learned in my time at DC Public Schools is the idea matters a little bit, but the execution matters a lot. And so we want to be able to execute and provide young people with an amazing experience. And so we've iterated over time. When we started, it was just a plain old Zoom call with 6 to 10 kids and a tutor and teaching the content of the classes that we've designed. And, you know, we're working to up the technological experience. We're looking at what it looks like in the metaverse and in virtual reality and AI. And so we are growing our customer base at the same time that we're growing our product. That feels really natural to me.
Yeah, well, it should be natural. And, boy, you know it better than anybody what happens with some new trend, if I may, comes into education. Everybody jumps on it, and then it tends to peter out after a short period of time. It's not good. Okay,
that's
and we
right.
tend
We're
to go back to the same
haul.
Old thing, which is, yeah.
That's right. We're here for the long haul. We will grow slowly and smartly at the pace that our customers demand.
And are you hearing from, if I may, I'll say non-black people. I was going to say white people, but it is far more than that. Are you hearing from teachers who are interested in getting the support across to kids who aren't black, kids who aren't African American?
Yep. Absolutely.
What are you hearing?
Absolutely. We hear teachers. We hear parents. There are a lot of non-black parents who feel like they didn't get this history in school. They want their kids to be well-rounded and have diverse perspectives. And so we have many non-black families who sign up for reconstruction courses.
That's very good news. I got to hear that. It's great. And because I think that the whole – when I went to college, I went to a small rural college, okay, near Philadelphia, was still pretty rural, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 90% of the students, okay, had never, okay, been to school with a black person, all right? I mean, I'm white, but they'd never been to school with a black person. There were a couple of black kids who went to, literally just a couple, okay, a very small percentage of black kids who went to my college. And they were really, these 90% of the kids I went to school with couldn't believe it. They didn't even know how to handle this, okay?
Yeah.
And that, to me, struck me as a real problem because people were so, they just had no contact. It was everything was, you know, what it was like back in 1970. We won't get into that. It was very different than it was today, I hope. All right? And so my point, it's very important that people understand, okay, that black history is rooted in slavery but goes way beyond that over the course of time. Okay? And, let's talk about that, the equity aspect of it overall. That's what I'm driving at, Kaya.
I do think that in my ideal world, right, I dream, I'm a child of the 70s, and I went to an amazing elementary school that was completely and totally integrated by court order, mind you, but it was an arts integrated elementary school. In Mount Vernon, New York, which is where I grew up. And absolutely. And I went to school with kids of every ethnicity. And I grew up going to quinceañeras and bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. And I had a worldview that was pretty well-rounded. But I also had a very strong historical and cultural identity because my mother, who was a teacher, made sure that we learned black history in our household. We learned black history in our church. We learned black history in our community organizations. And so I felt on par with my peers because I had a strong cultural history. Each of them had a strong cultural history. And then we were able to contribute to, you know, it was a beautiful mixed salad, right? We used to call it a melting pot, but then we moved to mixed salad, right? And
the salad bowl versus the melting pot,
that's
if
right.
I may.
Yeah. if any group does not feel strong in who they are, then they can't interact with other people on a level playing field, right? And so when you consistently
teach
one group of kids that their history is rooted in laziness and incompetence and not, you know, preferring education or not, then how are those kids able to interact positively with other people when they don't feel good about themselves? And so for me, this is about two things. This is about giving African-American young people and families a strong foundation around who we are, and it is also about providing access to our shared history and culture through an African-American lens for anybody who wants it. We do a lot of work in Oakland, California, with an amazing community-based organization there called Oakland Reach. Oakland Reach pulls families together and provides them with academic and social supports for their young people, educational advocacy and whatnot. And I was on a call with 80 parents from Oakland Reach, many of them African-American, but I remember a question from a Middle Eastern parent, and she said, listen, she said, I think that this history is incredibly important. Are my kids welcome at Reconstruction? And we said, of course your kids are welcome. And she's like, we're going to get this unapologetically Black education. And, you know, we have white parents, we have Latino parents, we have Asian parents who are deeply interested in ensuring that their kids have a well-rounded account of history, have access to some of the awesome, you know, arts and cultural things that we do. I mean, we do everything from hardcore academics, book clubs, and things that you would see in schools, to things like games for the culture. So if you know Black people, you know that we love to play spades, right? And spades is an incredibly competitive game, and nobody wants to teach you because if you don't already know, then you're a bad partner.
I haven't played spades in years. You just brought up a memory. I haven't played spades in years.
Listen,
wow,
we teach a spades course. We call it a safe space for spades, right? And we teach young people. And spades is about strategy, and spades is critical thinking, and spades is whatever. And African-Americans play spades and bidwhist and tonk and dominoes. And so we teach those games as a way of preserving our culture, as a way of helping our young people interact generationally, because we've moved away from our extended families. We teach the cooking course because many of us don't grow up with our grandmothers or our aunties teaching us how to cook anymore because we live away from our extended families. And so we wanted to ground people in the history. Why are we cooking black-eyed peas and rice, you know, at New Year's? There's a deep, deep history around that, including where black-eyed peas come from and how they've traversed the food waterways from Africa to the United States, right? These are the things that are important for young people to know. And so we go out of our way to not just teach academics, but to teach academics in a very interesting way. Let me give you one quick example, Larry.
Don't take your time.
I have a friend whose son really does not like school, and he hates Zoom school. He won't turn on his camera. He doesn't participate. And she signed him up for a Reconstruction math course. He's a fifth grader. And, you know, you'll not go on our website and see math. What you'll see is, you know, HBCU sports, or you'll see Black astronauts. And these are math classes that are masquerading as just general cultural classes. But anyway, he takes the HBCU sports class, and he's doing all of the fifth grade math concepts, but he's learning about sports and sports statistics at historically Black colleges and universities. And he loves it. He's engaged. He's on camera. He's raising his hand. He's participating. And my girlfriend is like, wait a minute, how did you get him to participate in this way? Further, when he gets back to school, he realizes, wait a minute, I know this math because this is what we've done at Reconstruction.
Yeah.
And so he turns on his camera in school. He's participating in school. And the teacher is like, well, what happened to him? What is it that is making him participate? What our kids say about us and our student satisfaction rating is a 4.8 out of 5. What our kids say is they love Reconstruction because it's content that they're not getting in school. The topics are interesting and relevant. They say that they love the tutors who teach the courses, and we go out of our way to hire tutors who are able to create a space of belonging. We want this to be like a clubhouse for kids. We want this place to feel different from school. And our tutors do a great job at creating an atmosphere and an environment where kids want to hang out. And then the third thing that they say is they love being in conversation with kids from all over the country. The part of the benefit of us being online is that you're not just sitting with kids in your neighborhood. You're oftentimes sitting with kids from all over the country. And so you get to build relationships and social networks that are going to pay off in the long term. We have families who take classes together, and then they want to take the next class with friends that they've made in their reconstruction classes. So there are so many benefits that we're able to hit on.
Nice.
In this way.
You're building a whole community.
We are building. That is exactly what we're doing.
And, you know, there's another point to what, well, there's a million points to what you just said. First of all, I hadn't thought about that in years. I used to play spades when I was a kid.
If you went to Black high school, for sure you played spades.
Yeah, I did. And I haven't thought about it in years. Okay, you just brought up something. Okay, that just made me laugh when I was thinking about it. But the other thing I did, I went to Overbrook High, everybody, class of 65. Okay, you can do the math. All right. Speaking of math, all right, my point is you've hit on something that's incredibly important. And I can go into stories about this. And as everybody who listens knows, I stink at math. I know I have to do better at math. Please don't get on me, math teachers. All right? But my point is math was taught out of context. All right? And the point you just made is that if you take sports batting averages as an example, okay, and you put it into something and into an engaging context, suddenly it begins to make sense why you're learning it, all right? And your curriculum, if I may, is interdisciplinary, and that makes all the difference in the world. That makes
That's
all
right.
the difference. Math does not stand alone. History does not
That's
stand
right.
alone, all right? And if kids don't start to understand that, we get them better. So putting engaging things into an interdisciplinary context is incredibly, incredibly – I have to ask you, who wrote the curriculum? Probably
so
a lot of people, but just, yeah.
A lot of people. We, again, this is a thing that I'm free to do because I'm not working in the confines of a school district. We have assembled a team of the most amazing people and partners. We have teachers and curriculum writers and actors and all kinds of folks who have worked together to develop this curriculum, experts in whatever their field is. We also have amazing partnerships. So I mentioned our Black Shakespeare course. We developed our Black Shakespeare course in conjunction with the Folger Shakespeare Library here in Washington, D.C., which is
quite famous.
The place for Shakespearean study in the United States. And we called them up and said, we want to do a Black Shakespeare course. They, you know, said absolutely, and they pulled together.
Did you call Denzel Washington? Because he just did.
Did not call Denzel Washington, but we need to figure out how to get him to. And he's from my hometown,
so
we need to figure
this out. Separation. You can find him.
We partnered with the Folger on our Black Shakespeare course. We partnered with Step Africa, which is the only professional step dance company in the world to develop our step course. We've worked with, a chef in New Orleans to work on our cooking course. We've worked with some of the best early childhood educators on our early childhood reading courses. We literally have scoured the world to find the best teachers and to give them the opportunity to come and design curriculum for us. In fact, one of the things that we realized is that there are not a lot of African-American curriculum writers. Well, there are, but they're not working for the big textbook companies that represent most of what young people are seeing. And so part of what I've realized is we have a responsibility. We have been able to tap into this community in ways that other people have not. And so we're trying to figure out where we will announce the curriculum fellowship later on in the year where we're inviting the best curriculum writers to come in and write with us for a year, hone their skills, and then turn them back loose in the world for all of the people who say they can't find people who, write culturally responsive curriculum. And so, you know, I've spent hours on Sundays, you know, scouring I won't tell you where I'm scouring because then other people find my folks, but scouring places where I can find, great black content creators, and not just black. In fact, some of our curriculum designers are folks who are just experts in black history and culture, whether they're black or not. And so we're looking for the best of the best. If you're interested in writing curriculum, you can go on our website. There's a Join Our Team tab. There's a Partner With Us tab. And you can actually propose classes that you think we should be teaching, and you can write classes. I ran across an amazing young woman who calls herself the STEAM Nanny, and she does early childhood classes in STEAM.
I love
and
it.
I ran into her somewhere, and I said, hey, you should come write for us. And the STEAM Nanny is one of our most popular classes, getting little babies engaged in project-based learning around STEAM. And so if you're an amazing educator doing cool stuff, come check us out at reconstruction.us.
Yeah. Are you working with Goldie Muhammad? Do you know Goldie?
We know Goldie Muhammad. We actually are working to see if we can get her to come and talk to our folks.
She's great. She's great.
Yeah, we actually use some of her work in our tutor training because we think it's
super.
Really, really important to help people understand, both sort of Goldie's work, Soretta Hammond's work, all of the folks who are doing culturally responsive stuff and helping people to understand what black genius looks like. So we use their stuff in our training.
That's good. One thing you actually segued into it, then we have to leave, but I'm curious, because you said early childhood, what grades are you at? If parents have an 8-year-old, should they get in touch with you? If they have a 17-year-old, grade?
We are kindergarten through 12th grade. We have early childhood content. We have elementary content, middle school content. In fact, we call them shorties. Our shorties are our elementary school kids. Our youngins are our middle school kids. Gen Z is our high school kids. And we even have grown folks classes because so many parents were saying to us, I want to be in a book club, or I want to take a black film series, or I want to take a black Shakespeare course. And so we actually serve whole families. We have courses that are designed for families. We've done a number of courses where families are on together, learning together. So we're here for everybody.
Yeah, you are indeed. This is good stuff, everybody. Reconstruction.us. Kaya Henderson is an amazing lady. You're the CEO. Kaya, come back on. I'll invite you back on. This is great stuff. Thank you. I hope you
Thank
had a good time.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye. We got to leave. I could talk to her for hours. That's Kaya Henderson. She's the former chancellor of Washington, D.C. Public Schools. Now she's the CEO of Reconstruction.us. Check it out. Cool stuff. And we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.